Hey, everybody, welcome to Hammered Out on the Market Scale Network. I'm your host, Mike Bush, and I am super excited to kick off 2026 with a really future-looking discussion about what autonomous trucks are going to be on the road. And I'm joined by a man on the front lines, a man who's doing the development, and he's doing it in a safe way. His name is Sasko Kuklev. He is the head of on-road solutions for Volvo. Sasko, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Mike. I'm honored to be here, pleasure to be here and share about what we are doing within Volvo Autonomous Solutions.
I think it's so cool, you know, when you look at a company like Volvo, who started out and built their entire brand on safety. I think the number of times, you know, I was talking earlier to one of the PR people that you've worked in the past, you know, and talk about ACT Expo. The number of times I've heard somebody at Volvo say, we created the three-point seatbelt and then we gave away the patent, it's in the hundreds, man. You guys are, you're safety focused, you're building something cutting edge. Walk me through what the next year looks like in autonomous trucking.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, safety, you mentioned it, it's in our DNA and that is, I would say the most important part of what we are doing is that we develop a safe solution. So next year and the coming years, I would say is very much the big years of autonomous trucking, and that is what the industry is saying. On the other hand, I've been part of this industry since 2016. Then everyone said that 2019 we'll see autonomous trucks on the roads. Didn't happen. Then it was 21 and 24, and now it's 24, 27, 26, 27. I would say we are getting really, really close, and we are talking, and I've shared that before, we're talking more about quarters than years. What we have done and what we have focused on from the very first day is actually to build the full ecosystem that we have said from the start is needed. So it's not enough with only a truck that you automate and then you go. So you need to have other pieces in place. So a full system, a full solution, a full ecosystem. And in that, then I include operational capabilities, uptime capabilities. You need to have terminals. You have to have IT piece. So all of that put together, then together with the truck and the driver, is what we call an autonomous solution. So I would say that the ecosystem, we have built that, we have that in place for the first two lanes that we are operating, and that those are in Texas. It's between Dallas and Houston and Fort Worth, El Paso. We have been running according to that ecosystem, to those processes, procedures. We have been moving freight for our customers in a commercial setup. We started actually with manually driven trucks, and then in the stage we are in right now is autonomously driven trucks, but we still have a human in the cab, a safety driver that is observing that everything is going in the right way. Of course, working tightly together with our customers, that have been important for us as well, that we have joined forces with our customers and want to figure out together with them how a solution like this should be implemented into the freight logistics of today. So it's nothing that here we, Volvo, come and we'll tell everyone how this will look like and how it will work. We instead join forces with our customers and together figure out how this new technology should be implemented and how it will impact our customers.
Oh man, I've got all the questions now. So let's start with the most interesting finding or the most interesting takeaway. What is something as you've explored and delved into trucks on the road without drivers, what's been what's an unexpected hurdle or something you didn't expect to encounter that kind of threw you for a curveball?
We find out many things, and that's why we also said that let's do this in a real setup, start to move freight in a commercial setup together with our customers. Because that is the best way to learn and understand what the solution what is needed from the solution. So in terms of what we're doing in Texas, I can share that of course a lot of things from an operational perspective that we didn't think about in the beginning, in relation to our customers, in relation to our virtual driver partners. How should we interact with our dealers if we have something that is not functioning in the right way? Who does what in between us and the virtual driver partner at the terminal? how do we work together with our customers at the terminal, and so a lot of different things that we had to figure out along the way. You know, when I get this question, I used to bring up an example from the other industry vertical that we are working with as well within Volvo Autonomous Solution, that is mining, where we are moving freight in a commercial setup, fully autonomous, in a mine in Norway, which is like in the northern parts of Norway, where most of the part of the route is in a tunnel. And usually it's snow and cold. In the tunnel is a little bit warmer. And in the early days when we started to test there already in 2017 and so on, some days when we were about to exit the tunnel, our lidars reacted on something, but there was no one there. But due to that, it was so cold outside and warmer inside, small water particles were created, and it reacted on that. I mean, that's a thing that you maybe didn't think of from the very start when you started. So a lot of these like real cases that happen that you need to experience in a real life implementation so that you can fine tune the system so it works perfectly.
Oh man, that's so interesting. There's a TikTok going around right now where a Tesla truck, the Cybertruck, the driver turns on the little LiDAR solution or the autonomous driver thing, and he's in the middle of the woods. And it looks like there's about 50 people around, but then you see the picture from his phone and there's nobody around. Maybe that's the water thing. That's really, really interesting to me. So fun.
I mean, this was, of course, very early days, as I said, 2016-17. So a lot has happened on the sensor piece since then. But small, like different things that you didn't think of, and that you will not learn until you are in a real setup, a real application, and run it for real, so to say.
Now, Sasko, you talked a little bit about the virtual driver partners. Do yeah. I have it right that this means there's, essentially if the truck is on the road, but there's somebody able to remote into it, if the truck gives a red flag and says, hey, I see something coming up I don't recognize?
You mean if somebody wants to take control of the truck?
Yeah. When I hear the term, virtual driver, I'm imagining somebody in like sort of that Xbox rig with the gas and everything. No. And they're remoting into the truck from a distance.
No. So this is like, and maybe virtual driver is not the right word. So autonomous driver partner. So we have two partners today that we are working with and have a partnership with, and that is Aurora, that we have been working with for quite some time now. And then we have a partnership with Waabi, which is a little bit more fresh. So what I can say on that is, it's a true partnership where we are integrating. It's a deep integration of the autonomy-enabled truck, what we develop, with the driver, the autonomous driver that they develop. So we integrate that into an autonomous vehicle, then an autonomous solution that is completely self-driving. So it's no one that is sitting somewhere else and remotely steering it. It is fully self-driving by the driver and the truck, if you say so.
Gotcha. Okay. So I think if I'm looking at it from the outside, it's terrifying to think of a robot driver with 40,000 pounds on his back ripping down the highway. What is your, I can't imagine I'm the first person that says, hey, this is a little scary. What's your general response to that?
They should not see it as a regular truck of today, which we have mounted a couple of sensors and then we go. So there is like a rigorous process and work put into making this vehicle safe. So on the vehicle side, we have redundancy systems. So you can say double systems on all the safety critical systems. So it's braking, steering, power, compute, vehicle motion management, communication, and so on. So they have two systems. So we have two ways of braking, two ways of steering. In case of that the primary braking system will stop to function, we have a secondary that can kick in and take the truck to a safe stop. So I tried to explain all of this, that we are working heavily on making this a safe solution. And then when we have those, and that is not known by people, like that this is the case. So when we talk about this, they try to understand, or they understand better what the solution is about. And but that is it is a good question and something that we take very seriously. So that's why we are also often out talking about this and having like trainings, familiarization sessions where different sort of communities, authorities can come to us and touch and feel a truck so that they understand as well. So what is unknown is always a little bit scary, but when you know more about it, then of course it's easier to understand what it is all about.
Okay, so I'm legally required to ask this next question. How does an autonomous truck refuel itself?
So the setup that we are starting with is basically if you have a customer depot that needs to, you start at the customer site, then you need to transport something to a destination point, which is also a customer site, you can say. What we do now is that we do a first and the last miles with manual driven trucks. And they drive the goods, the freight, to a specific terminal for autonomous use. And there we swap trailers. So you put the trailer on an autonomous vehicle and then you do the highway part, the long stretch autonomously. And of course, on those terminals, we also have fueling capabilities and so on. So that is how we start. On the other hand, with the evolution of the technology and what is happening within different areas, I think we will see as we go that the autonomous capabilities will, of course, progress and be better and better and better. And by that, we will be able to see ways of fueling the trucks that we maybe don't think of today. And it's not part of the solution today.
Sasko, how did you get here? What's your career path? What made you, what brought you to the point where you're building trucks that drive themselves?
I'm a Volvo guy. I'm born in Gothenburg, raised in Gothenburg, had a father working at Volvo, have a brother working at Volvo, and I've been working at Volvo more or less my entire life, I was about to say. But I've been there like 30 years almost in different positions, mainly within product development, but since 2015 on the commercial side at Volvo Trucks. And by then, I was responsible for all the new service developments we had on Volvo Trucks. And by then, it was very much connected to fuel economy, like different analytics. How can we use the data to create services to support the drivers very much and the customers? And that is when I got around 2016 autonomous on the table, where I got asked, like, look into this and see if we can create a new service by this. And that is when we started to look into, I mean, we had many years of research when it comes to autonomous before that. And I think if you Google on or search on Volvo and autonomous, you will find initiatives way back where we have been driving autonomously, testing in mines and working with platooning and different things. But around that time frame, 2016, 2017, that's when we started to look into how can we commercialize this. And that has been sort of what I've been working with since then. We started the initiatives we have in Norway together with Brenner Kalk, which is our customer, which we are in fully autonomous operation with today, focusing very much on the mining segment to start with. And then we went into highway trucking. And then Volvo Autonomous Solutions was created as a separate entity. That was in 2020. Basically, what I was doing at Volvo Trucks was transferred into Volvo Autonomous Solutions. And then I've been continuing working with that. Today, my responsibility is the highway trucking. So what we call hub-to-hub highway, you can see the long-haul trucking. And that is, that's the big segment when it comes, the big segment when it comes to autonomous. They talk about like the holy grail of autonomous, that's who everyone is after. We're starting up in US, and I'm based in US since almost 3 years back, responsible for making that happen to commercialize autonomous solutions for long-haul trucking, you can say.
Gotcha. So when you approach a customer and say, look, we've got this solution for you, what are the key benefits you're positioning? I'd imagine you're saying, look, one, it's going to be a safer vehicle because when the speed limit's 55, the computer's going to go 55 as opposed to the 61 that most drivers are pushing over, right? I imagine there's a component of efficiency involved here because at the very least, you know, it's a truck that doesn't have hours of service requirements, right? Like the robot, the machine doesn't need to sleep.
Yes.
What are the key benefits that your customers really glom onto and say, wow, that's cool?
If you look at your costs, very much of that is connected to the driver, of course. And simplified, if you don't have a driver that drives, then you can potentially save that cost. But which is the case, of course. But there are so many other values that an autonomous solution bring. And you mentioned it, shorter delivery times. As an example, you will be able to drive from coast to coast in US in 2 days instead of five. Of course, that is a huge value. Some of the customers that we talk to, which are more on the grocery side, you can say that means that their groceries will be able to be on the shelves in a store 3 more days than what they are usually, and that is value. You will be able to utilize the trucks in a completely different way compared to today. You mentioned driver times, resting times that the drivers have to do. You don't have to do that. So you can really utilize the truck in the best way. And I think you can optimize the whole transportation, the whole flow in a different way by sending out the trucks at the best time of the day, when you need it to arrive. You can do that optimization in a different way. We have some customers that we are in dialogue with where we talk about how should their distribution center network look like when we have an autonomous solution. That can maybe also change. So there is much, much more in it than just saving costs on drivers.
What are kind of the next steps for Volvo? How are you accruing feedback?
To build the right product and the right solution. So to build the redundant truck that I talked about with the redundant systems, ground up for autonomous use and with industrialization and scaling in mind. And I think this is important. So these trucks that we are building and just the last couple of weeks, we now built the second batch of the autonomy enabled truck. They will come out from our main plant, our main manufacturing facility in New River Valley, as any other Volvo truck. And with that, we get the rigorous quality and safety measures that you get from a Volvo sort of process and manufacturing setup. So it is not about bolting on a kit, which I hear that some are doing. We are not doing that. We want to build the right product from the start. We think that is important. Then, as I mentioned, we from the start said that we want to do this together with our customers and figure out how an autonomous solution will fit to the transportation industry. So it is not about, it's not about proving a new technology. For us, it has been about helping our customers to be even more successful, to make the transportation industry more safe and efficient and reduce the wastes that we have in the industry and optimally to drive prosperity. And in order to get there, you need to have the broader ecosystem that I talked about. And we have set that up together with our partners. So that is sort of important for us. So if you look at what we have communicated along the way here, it has not been so much about how far ahead a camera can look or if we have the best LiDAR or sensors. We have talked very much about safety, and we have talked about very much about how we can support our customers to onboard a new technology like this and what do they need to adapt on their side to onboard a new technology around this. And I think that is important. Sometimes it's too much focus on the technology. For us, it has been equally much important to see how should this be commercialized and used by our customers.
So listen, the final question I ask every guest, and it's one of my favorites, and I truly can't wait to hear your answer, is if you were talking to a new or recent college grad and they said, Sasko, I'm thinking about going into supply chain. I'm thinking about logistics. You've been in it for, you said, almost 20 years. What advice would you give that person?
If I talk to a college guy that want to get into the logistics industry, I would say that go. All in, go. You should get there. I think that the transformation that we are in now and we'll see the coming years in the transportation industry is bigger than any transformation, I would say, that we have seen. Maybe not if we go back from between horse and getting a car. But the changes that we will see now the coming years is bigger than what we have seen for a long, long time. And all these new technologies that are coming in will play a role. It's more to for the industry, including us, to understand what role they will play and how will they fit. So in terms of that, I would say it's a super interesting time to get into the freight industry, to be part of that transformation, to be part of forming the transformation and being part of creating the future transportation system and ecosystem and setup. With that in mind is, of course, extremely interesting. So that is what I would tell the college person.
All right. He's Sasko Kuklov, who runs On-Road Solutions for Volvo. I'm Mike Bush. Thanks for listening.